Our first reading for this morning comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10, through chapter 62, verse 3. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible in the Hebrew Bible on page 650. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 178 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The final lesson comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. You can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament, in the middle of page 55. Hear this story. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. in that crazy chronology of the church lectionary, Wednesday night we celebrated Christmas Eve. Jesus was born Thursday. And then here it is Saturday, and His family is already taking Him to the temple in Jerusalem to have Him blessed by God. Well, if you go back just a tad in the lectionary, in fact, in the scripture, the gospel lesson from Luke, you discover that Jesus has just been circumcised and He is just 8 days old. Well, I hope you will indulge me telling you a story about my son, Zach, who is not even in the balcony. I don't know where he is. But the reason I tell you this story is twofold. One, because this happened when Zach was just about 8 days old, but also because I think it gives life to what we read in the Scripture. We met Zach when he was just about that age. We had flown from Virginia to San Antonio, Texas, and the folks from the adoption agency had Zach there in a bundle, swaddling clothes, if you will. And Jane and I got off the plane, and they handed us this bundle of baby boy. Now, this kid was producing heat. We held him, and he was just reverberating heat. And I recall how it felt. Jane and I held each other, cradled Zach in our arms, and we were an instant family. And we cried. Well, we were staying with relatives in San Antonio, so we went home to their house. And I recall that entire first day, all we did was look at Zach and admire him and point out how beautiful he was. Well, later that evening, it came time that Zach needed a diaper change, and it was my turn. Now, I can't honestly remember that I had ever, to that point, ever changed a diaper on a living baby. And so I took Zach, cradled in one hand, and the brand new diaper in the other, and I walked the stairs up to the bathroom. Now, I was pretty messed up. I was concerned. I was worried. I was freaked out because I was pretty sure I was going to break this little kid when I wrestled that diaper onto him. And it was a disposable diaper. Well, he and I worked. 30 minutes later, I emerged from the bathroom victorious, covered from head to toe in sweat. Zach had a new diaper and a new daddy. And I had a new son. And life was never the same. And I think it's because of that kind of experience that I can really empathize with what Mary and Joseph were going through 8 days into this adventure when they were an instant family and they took their son to the temple to be blessed of God. And I know that many of you can empathize exactly the same way. As you held that infant baby boy or girl, and you looked ahead at what life was now going to be like because of that child's arrival into your life. And I can also kind of empathize with the experience of taking that kid into the temple to be blessed and to be focused into that life of God. Now, I want you to think about that. See if you can empathize with perhaps what Mary and Joseph were going through. Because as they stood there, Simeon first and then Anna told them amazing stories about what their son's life would be like. They described a ministry that was revolutionary in the Roman Empire. They talked about the way Christ, Jesus, their boy, would change the world. And they also described, Simeon described to Mary, that her heart would be cleft in two because of what she would have to endure through the death, the crucifixion and death of her son. So try to empathize with what that was like. What they were hearing from Simeon and Anna was both wonderful and terrible. And it probably is very similar to what went through your mind as you held your child. When I think about that story from Scripture, my guess is that as Mary and Joseph stood there in the temple, they recognized that there would be joys beyond belief as Jesus grew up to be a young man, but they also recognized that there would be heartbreaking times of difficulty. And it's not so very different to what may be going through your hearts and minds as you look forward to the brand new year 2009. Almost invariably, the economic times will hit you. Times will be tough. I can almost also guarantee that you will have joys and amazement beyond belief as you continue to try to bring about the realization of God's kingdom here on earth. Of this I am absolutely sure. For you in 2009, there will be incredible highs and incredible lows. But just as Mary and Joseph knew as they looked ahead to the life of Jesus, they recognized that they could get through it because they had each other and they had Jesus. And likewise, as Jesus grew and matured into a young Jewish man, he knew that he would always have his family and he would always have his heavenly Father, God Almighty. And exactly the same thing can be said of every one of us. No matter what life throws at us, we will always have our faith family here. And we will always have God with us. My brothers and sisters, we can walk boldly into 2009 on the kingdom path. We can walk without fear and in strength, because of Emmanuel, God with us. Let it be so. Amen.